Thank you for joining us today at Denton Christian Church, where we exist for one reason, to help make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you'd like any more information about us, please check us out online at dentonchristianchurch.com. We join Preacher Billy Johnson today as he preaches from God's Word.
Have you ever been in a situation where you just knew something was missing? I've been in this situation many times. My kids, I got to give you a little background before I tell you specifics, okay? My kids are, and this is my fault, this is our fault, but they're not great eaters. Like, they don't eat things that are good for them. They don't want things that are good for them, and we've been working on that with them and doing some things to help with that. It didn't help that, you know, we got thrown for a curveball with our first child with a pretty severe food allergy, and that's kind of messed us up on the road. But on that road, some of the ways we tried to compensate for that is to do some things that they do like in a different way that's more healthy and amazing. A few years back, my wife bought this cookbook called Deceptively Delicious. Have anybody ever heard of this? Deceptively Delicious. It's basically where you make things that taste good out of things that don't taste good. Seriously, this is how it works, okay? For example, my wife made this chocolate pudding for our children, except it didn't really have a whole lot of chocolate or sugar in it, but it was made with a base of avocados. No, don't cheer for that. That's disgusting. That's avocado pudding, not chocolate pudding. Not only that, but she tried this other thing where she would make these brownies, this pan of brownies, but it didn't have... brownies are supposed to have three things in them: chocolate, flour, and sugar. And eggs. We'll make it four things. And eggs, okay? That's how you make brownies. These brownies had chocolate, probably a little bit of sugar, but there was no flour or anything. You know how it gave them their texture and shape? Black beans. They were black bean brownies. Meh, there's something. You take a bite of those brownies, and my wife goes, "See, they're really good." And I say to her, "No, you take a bite of that, and you know there's something missing. You know there's something that's not quite right. You take a bite of that avocado pudding, not chocolate pudding, but the avocado pudding, you go, mmm." Now, I will give it to her. My kids love it. They're all for it. But I'm like, she finally made dessert. We don't do a lot of dessert at our house, and it's not really dessert. There's something missing. Hang on to that for just a second, okay? We're going to come back to that. We're going to just put that in our pocket for a moment here, okay? Now, we're in week three of this sermon series, From This Day Forward, Five Commitments to Building a Strong, God-Fearing Marriage. The sermon's all about making and keeping five commitments that will help fail-proof our marriages. Now, for some of you, if we've said this every week, some of you who aren't married and you're going, "I don't know if this is for me," maybe you will be one day. Or maybe you'll find ways to encourage your friends and family members who are married, okay? There's something for everyone here. Week one, we talked about if we are followers of Jesus, if we're seeking Christ in our life, our first commitment in marriage, the upward arrow, is to seek our number one with our number two. Is to seek after God together. Seek Him first above all else. Week two, last week, we talked and made a commitment to fight fair. We fight to resolve issues, not to win fights. We fight in order to work through things. And so we listen intently and we guard our words carefully. We handle our anger in a righteous and God-honoring way. And today, this week, we're going to move on to this third commitment, this third idea helping us build a marriage that is fail-proof. Now, I want to give you a warning here, okay? This is my warning for my sermon editors out here. Those who listen to my sermons with agendas like, "Is this guy really going to be spiritual enough?" Here's your warning for today, okay? This third commitment isn't going to sound spiritual. All right, I want you to just know right up front, before we get started, it's not going to sound spiritual. In fact, some of you are going to wonder how I can spend a whole sermon talking about this topic, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Because the third commitment, you see our smiley face there, the third commitment in marriage, if we're going to fail-proof our marriage, is to have some fun. Seriously. If you're going to be married, you need to have some fun. Okay, you remember we were talking about brownies that don't have eggs in it? We were talking about, chocolate pudding that's not really chocolate pudding. There's something missing. Remember we were talking about that just a minute ago? We'll put that out of our pocket for just a second here. There was something that was supposed to be there that wasn't, and I feel like there's a lot of marriages. When we start to talk about marriage that honors and pleases God, there's something missing there, and perhaps the something missing is this element of fun. How many married couples, by the way, my wife and I today celebrate our 12th anniversary, so we are an even dozen. We're really excited about that. And how many marriages that have lasted more than 2 or 3 years, let's go past the whole newlywed phase of things, have that phrase built into them, well, we used to fill in the blank. We used to do these things. We used to have so much fun, but not now. When we were dating, we had so much fun, but now we've been married for a dozen years. And, you know, somewhere along the line, the fun stopped. We know that all these relationships started in a fun way. Right? I mean, how many people, and I'm going to use this phrase not in this very literal sense, how many people fall in love in a boring, kind of just bad time experience with somebody? Nobody does. Nobody walks to the end of, you know, six horrible dates or just this ridiculous relationship and go, oh, this is great, let's get married. No, it doesn't happen that way. It always starts with fun. It's like your marriage went from a fun, exciting, fulfilling relationship to a cold, workaday business partnership. Roseanne and I have been in these situations. We've been in these moments in our marriage where it feels like we manage the house, we pay the bills, we raise the kids, we do the chores, we help with the homework, we take them to dance practice and to t-ball practice, we go to church, we go to the t-ball game on Saturday morning, we do this, this, and this, but we never have fun together. We've been there. We've been in those moments in our life where it's much more like a business partnership than a fun, exciting, fulfilling relationship. And some of us settle for that because we think, oh, hey, we've been married, you know, for years now, and you know, that's we've had our fun. It's time to be responsible. It's time to be responsible. We get rid of fun in the name of responsibility. I would say to you, fun is not a luxury in marriage. If you don't make time for fun in your marriage, you might not find yourself in a marriage very much longer. So, let's hear what the scripture has to say. These ideas don't come from me, by the way. This idea of building fun as a very huge part of your marriage comes from the wisest man to ever live. His name was Solomon. Solomon is an Old Testament guy who wrote a couple of books, Ecclesiastes, and of course the one that has his name in it, Song of Solomon. And he was he was frustrated because his wisdom actually led him to see the conundrums in life. But he wrote he wrote some amazing things. I want you to look at this. This is put Ecclesiastes 9:9 up there for me. I just want you to see this. This is God's word. It says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. Now you hear kind of his conundrum. He's come to the conclusion that all life is meaningless, and so we ought to find some love and some joy in this meaningless life. Now that turns around. There's a whole theological explanation about Ecclesiastes to come to, but I want to focus in on how he starts that verse. It says, enjoy life with your wife. Notice he doesn't say survive life, right? He doesn't say just get by with your life. He doesn't just say let's make it through the day. That's not what he says. He says enjoy life. Sometimes we've exchanged enjoyment in marriage for endurance, and we get the results we don't want. We just get tired. Now, in the book of Revelation, John kind of talks about, and he's not talking about the husband and wife marriage relationship here. Let me be theologically clear for everybody. He's not talking about husband and wife here. He's actually talking about Christians who have forsaken their first love, and that was Christ. But I think there's some application we can see here as well. Revelation chapter 2. Do I have that up there for you, Matt? I added some things. You'll see I've got some handwritten notes on my sermon here. I added some things late today, so not everything's going to be on the screen. But Revelation 2, 3 through 5, you've persevered, you've endured hardships for my name, you haven't grown weary, yet this I hold against you, you have forsaken your first love. Now again, this is Jesus talking to the church about them forsaking him. But man, how many marriages could be described that way? It's not quite the way it used to be. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Could these very words possibly describe your own marriage, your own relationship? Sometimes we get to a place where all we're doing in a relationship is just holding on. Let me put this out here. This doesn't sound very spiritual. I just don't think that's what God has called us for in life. And that's not what God has called us for in marriage. And it's good to hold on. Hear me loudly and clearly. I'm not saying let go. I'm not saying run away. I'm not saying throw it away. But what I'm saying is maybe we need to get back to our first love. Maybe to have what you once had, you have to do what you once did. You have to go back to where you were. And that kind of idea, that kind of principle is the guiding principle for this message here. Is to have what you once had, you have to do what you once did. All right, so who is ready to go to the R-rated book of the Bible for a little while? This is a PG-13 sermon. It's not going to be really crass or anything like that, but I just want you to know right up front, this is a PG-13 sermon. The book of Song of Solomon, we're going to go there, we're going to camp in one chapter specifically, but if you're not familiar, it is Old Testament wisdom literature. It's all the way back right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. If you open up your Bible right to the middle, you'll probably be at Psalms, okay? And it's just a little bit past Psalms. But Song of Solomon is this amazing, a wonderful thing. And I think if we look in Song of Solomon chapter 7, and there's not all going to be up on the screen, so you might want to flip there in your Bible a little bit. We're going to see a couple of cool things here. Number one, I want to give you kind of three ways to have fun with your spouse, okay? The fun commitments to have with your spouse. And the first one is face-to-face fun, okay? This is about making time to talk to each other, getting to know each other now. Good old-fashioned, I know this is going to sound crazy, conversation, right? Just being able to talk. You remember when you were dating? And your, maybe if you were really young, your parents, or if you were a little bit older, your friends, or maybe a roommate or somebody got annoyed with you because you were talking on the phone with this person till 2 a.m. You remember that? Remember when you just couldn't get enough of that conversation? And I think talking needs to make a comeback. I think just communication needs to make a comeback. And there's some ladies in this room that are going, yeah, preach on, brother, preach on. Some guys are going, would you just stop right now? Because here's the thing. If we're going to be typical here, when women crave this conversation, talk time, typically more than men. Now, that is not to say that's a rule across the board. I'm just giving you typicals there. And it's important. Because men, here's what I need you to know. We need to understand how important this is to our wives. Because oftentimes, us guys, we just want to hear the headlines. We want to hear the headlines about the day, but those ladies in our life, they crave the details. Go to Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. I want you to read this a little bit. Now, by the way, this book is the R-rated book of the Bible. Okay, there are some things in here that I would not be comfortable reading right now because we have children in the room, right out of this book of the Bible, okay? Husbands and wives, go home and read it together tonight. That'd be fun. And I encourage you to do that. But what I want you to grab onto, well, we're going to keep it PG-13 here this morning, but I want you to hear some of the words. Jewish boys who were studying the Old Testament in ancient days were not allowed to read this book until they were of age. Did you know that? There's a book of the Bible they couldn't read. This is, I just want to read the first four verses of Song of Solomon chapter 7. It's not on the screen, but it's not on the screen. Song of Solomon chapter 7. And I want you to hear this husband talking to his wife. Hear him talking to her. How beautiful are your sandaled feet, O prince's daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hands. Your navel is a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. Your waist is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies. Your breasts are like two fawns, the like twin fawns of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are the pool of Heshbon by the gate of Bath Rabim. Hey, honey. Your eyes are like the pools of Heshbon. Doesn't that make your heart flutter over there? Your heart, okay. Well, we might have to update that to some modern language. Why was I saying modern? That's weird. Some modern language. What I want you to catch is this. When this husband in the Bible is talking to his wife, do you hear the detail in the compliment? This wasn't just, you're hot. No, he goes in. When I look at you, this is what I love. This is what I see. It's that detailed expression of adoration. Do you hear it in there? All the details. Because we know. I mean, here's the deal. Us guys, we have this kind of, we're going to talk about what guys here in just a few minutes, but we have this kind of adventure, generally speaking, we have this kind of adventure and challenge mode, and so dating's cool for us because we go, hey, this is a challenge, I'm going to go win her heart, I'm going to go do these things, and so when we're dating, we do the things that are going to win her heart, but then we kind of get it into our mind that once we get that ring on her finger and everybody says, I do, the pursuit is over. No, we've got to keep pursuing. No woman writes in her journal with like the little hearts above the eyes, never writes a phrase like, I met this guy tonight and he ignored me and stared at his phone and the TV all night. I really think we are going to work out together. Right? No woman's ever written that in a journal with little hearts over it. So keep pursuing, and part of that is just this face-to-face talking. It's so important to talk. Now, what that looks like, it means that husbands and wives in this room, you need to set aside some time to talk. Now, it's not always going to happen every day. Can I just tell you it doesn't happen every day? You know, my wife and I's own example here is, you know, on a normal day of the week, it happens. This is what our day looks like. We get up because the kids are jumping on our bed at like 5:30, 6 a.m. Okay, so then we're up and we're getting ready and somebody has to make breakfast, either her or me, or we send Victoria to do it because she's 11 and who cares if an 11-year-old uses the oven, right? It doesn't matter. But we get ready for the day, and then 7:30, 7:45, I'm out the door, and she's doing schoolwork with the kids, and they're doing all that. I get home around 5 o'clock at night. We eat dinner 5:15, 5:30 with a table full of children. Have you got this? Okay. And then at 6:15, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, we're out the door again because we have dance practice. And once we get home from that, it's just about bedtime for the kids. And we get the kids ready for bed. Somebody needs a bath because Peter was playing in a puddle again, or James was digging in dirt out in Adam's yard again. And somebody's got to have something. And we get the kids to bed. And then they scream and yell at each other because James is throwing a toy across the room at Peter and Peter's throwing his blanket at Will. And we get them to bed. Finally, they're all asleep. It's 9 o'clock. And I look over to talk to my wife and she's gone, okay? And she's allowed to be gone, okay? Hear me loudly and clearly. She's worn out. So can I just say, it doesn't happen every day, this talk time. That's why I have to have a day off every week, you know, so I can be at home for a little while. And that magical moment in the afternoon where we let the older kids play on their little device and Peter's taking a nap, oh, we actually get to have a quiet house for about 35 minutes one day a week, and then we get to talk. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But we need that. You need that. Every marriage that wants to honor God, I believe, needs that. Not only needs the face-to-face time, but they need some side-to-side time. Some side, well, side-by-side might be a better way to phrase that. Side-by-side. This is going and doing something fun together. Can I talk about you for just a minute, Bill and Becky? Can I talk about you for a second? Bill and Becky Schmidt are awesome, okay? They just celebrated 25 years of marriage. Woohoo! That is fantastic. And as a celebration, Bill said, you know what? We have never taken a long vacation together. And so we bought tickets, we made reservations. We're going to Hawaii for 2 weeks. They just got back last week, right? And if you aren't Facebook friends with them, I don't know that you want to be Facebook friends with them right now, because you're just going to be jealous, because it was awesome and they posted all their pictures and it's wonderful. But here's what, they walked in and they're just smiling, and I can see it all over your face right now, because they just went and did something fun together. They just went and enjoyed life together. Got away from the normal, got away from that normal business partnership life kind of thing, and they just went and did. Maybe it's camping or hiking. Maybe it's going to see a movie. Maybe it's taking a trip to the beach or I don't know. Whatever it happens to be, going and doing something together. If you're still in Song of Solomon chapter 7, down verse 11. 11 is where we want to go. This isn't on the screen either. How about that? I'm just, don't put it up there, because that's for the rest. We'll get there. We'll get there. He looked at me weird, like, yes, it is, but I don't want him to put that up yet. Okay. It says this, come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside, let us spend the night in the villages, let's go do something. Now, as a general rule, guys, this is what we want. We want to go do something together. We want to go have some fun. We want to go on an adventure, you know. And part of what we can do as husbands and wives who want to honor God and build a relationship together is to seek to enter into each other's world. For example, many of you might know that I am a diehard, raised, deep into my soul, New England Patriots football fan. Don't have to groan. Don't groan too much. It's fine. You like your team. I like my team. At the end of the day, it's really not that important. Okay? But I love the Patriots. Before my wife and I were married, and even probably, I don't know, what do you say, 5-6 years into our marriage, I doubt my wife had ever actually watched a football game, except the one she watched when she was in the band in high school, right? Does that sound about right? And you didn't even watch those. Okay, perfect. Okay? My wife is not a football fan, but she knew that I was. And so you know what she started doing a couple years ago? Every time the Patriots were on, she came and sat on the couch next to me. And then we found out, like one day, because I was getting too fat, I didn't fit into the jersey anymore. You can laugh. I said it so you can laugh. So we put the jersey on her, and guess what? Come from behind win. We found the good luck charm. I'm serious. 2000, you know, the year, just a couple years ago, the Patriots won the Super Bowl, started the season 2-2, had the big blowout Monday night loss to Kansas City. The next week, my wife started wearing the jersey straight on to the Super Bowl, baby. Woohoo! Okay. But we started doing things together that she entered into my world. She came in and said, hey, you want to do this? I grew up in a family that loved playing games. Her family played different games. And so, like, we sit around in marriage, we would play games. I introduced her to playing Gin Rummy, you know? That was the worst mistake I ever made. I can't beat her now. It's ridiculous. And she won't play the games that I crush her at. She won't play a game of chess with me. And she won't play poker with me, you know, none of that stuff. Here's the thing. When we talk to each other, we build a meaningful relationship, and when we do fun side by side, we're building that friendship element in a marriage that needs to be there. You know, you're not going to necessarily love all of their hobbies, but you can still invest your time into them and draw closer together. Ladies, by the way, can I just talk to the ladies for a second? Guys, you don't have to listen for a second here. You ever want your dude to open up a little bit more? Can I just give you a secret? He's more likely to open up in the middle of doing something he loves, or right after he's done something he loves, than any other time. I'm just letting you know. We open up more in those moments. Don't believe me? Try it. Try it. Okay. And some of you are asking yourselves, where am I going to find the time to do that? Where am I going to find the time to invest in his interests, in her interests? Where am I going to find the time to do that? And here's my question for you. Do you have time to surf Facebook on your phone? Do you find time to watch your favorite television shows? You're not really that short on time. None of us are, okay? This whole I don't have time for things that are important spiel that I get from people, I'm done with it. We all have the same amount of time as everybody else. We can find the time if we make it an important thing. So, we've had face-to-face fun, we've had side-by-side fun, and now is when it gets PG-13, okay? We also need, in a healthy marriage that honors and serves Jesus, we need to have some skin-to-skin fun. Okay, now I know it's weird, I know it's a little bit odd to talk about sex in church, okay? But here's what I want to say. The church belongs to God, and guess what? God made. Okay, there are 66 books in the Bible, 66 books and letters, they're not all actually books. One whole book, the one we've been reading from, is dedicated and devoted to the topic of love and sex. That's Song of Solomon. Our R-rated book. He created sex and sexuality. It is not a taboo subject that needs to be brushed aside or whispered about in the corner. It's something that we can't just allow ourselves to be shamed into silence about. But we also can't like elevate it to an idol status either. What we have to do is realize that, you know, there's some amazing things God has given us here. Now, Song of Solomon chapter 11 or 7, verse 11 and 12 says this. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early into the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, if the pomegranates are in bloom, and there I will give you my love. Now, this is kind of racy. I just want you to hear right now from you. This is kind of racy, okay? Basically, what she's saying to him, if you haven't been able to catch it yet, is, hey, let's go on a romantic vacation, and while we're there, we're going to get up while it's still dark. We're going to get up in the middle of the night. We're going to go out into the gardens, and we're going to, you know, boom, chicka-wawa, out in the gardens, out in the vineyards, together. So here's the question that I want to ask. Okay, we can giggle, we can do all those things, that's fine. But here's the question I want to ask. Why is this in the Bible? Why? To us, it almost seems unspiritual, worldly. But that is so far from the truth. Sex between a husband and wife is a spiritual thing, and it is a good thing. Okay? Now, I love, Bill gave us a little, as he was doing his communion devotion, he gave us a little metaphysics and philosophy of religion lesson up here. And to sum up what he said is, hey, we might think some things are physical, but everything's spiritual. That's the idea here. Everything is spiritual. And in our upside down sinful culture, we've kind of settled for the idea that sex is a just physical thing, that it's not very important. But the idea that God teaches us is that sex carries some huge power emotionally, relationally, and it's not just for dating couples. And when you get married, sex hibernates and dies. That's the idea in our culture, but that's tragic. Because a healthy marriage shouldn't be that way. Paul tells us, writes out crystal clearly, that when you are married to become one, but he says that a husband's body belongs to his wife and a wife's body belongs to their husband. And some of you look at this part of your marriage, the skin-to-skin time part of your marriage, and you feel like it's broken. And usually, this part is broken because there's other parts that are broken, and it just kind of bleeds into the sex life. But I want to say a few things about this. some of you might say, well, I just don't feel it anymore. I don't get those butterflies in my stomach. I don't get giddy or excited or whatever it happens to be. Well, look, work on the other stuff. Get that face-to-face time. Have those deep, in-depth conversations about real life and about real things and get to know one another. Go do fun things together. And I oftentimes, when you've built the relationship to that point, the feelings follow. And that's what we need to know is feelings follow actions, not the other way around. Not the other way around. Feelings follow actions. And some of you, can I just say this to you right here, right now? And this is your warning. Your warning for the day. Well, it's not going to be the only one. Some of you, you are not finding this time with your spouse because you're looking somewhere else. And whether you've actually taken the step and invested into that physical relationship with somebody else, or whether it's just on your heart and on your mind, you're looking elsewhere. And when the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, it's time to water the grass in your own lawn. So, don't go next door. Stay home. Also, can I just say this loudly and clearly? I think God's plan for sexuality is that husband and wife, that your husband or your wife is your only legitimate way to find sexual fulfillment. Okay? And I say that, let me not just beat around the bush here. That means I think that pornography is an evil and a wrong that is killing relationships. Okay? You can't say, well, it's just me. It's not just you. You are investing your heart and your mind into a fantasy world with somebody else that is not your spouse. Not only pornography, but affairs and other, even just investing our time into a relationship that we just find exciting and it's fun to just kind of flirt on the edge. Stay away from it. Give all of your fulfillment in your spouse. This takes work, this takes effort, this takes intentionality. This is not something we can be lazy about. This is not something that just happens overnight. It takes effort and time to woo one another. We need to get back to wooing. Wooing. That's a legitimate, you know what I mean when I say wooing. We need to get back to wooing our spouses. Marriage is important. God made it, God designed it, and He wants us to enjoy life with each other. Go back to that Ecclesiastes passage real quick. I just want to come back to this. Enjoy life with your wife. Enjoy life with your husband, whom you love. Enjoy life. Have fun. Commit and follow through to having fun in this kind of relational, conversational way, that face-to-face time. Have fun doing things together, going out on adventure together, side by side. Have fun, skin to skin. Sex is important, and it needs to be a part of what you're doing. Live life with your spouse. Walk together with Christ with your spouse. And I just want to just say before I kind of finish up here, to have what you once had, you might have to do what you once did. And maybe you're not there. Maybe you're still a newlywed like Kristen over here. And here's my advice for the rest of your marriage, okay? Keep doing what you've been doing. Keep that excitement. Keep coming back. Keep dating one another. Keep talking with one another. Keep wooing one another. Sorry, Kristen, I just embarrassed Kristen over here, the newlywed. Keep it up. All right. From this day forward, husbands and wives in this room, we talked about it the first week, we talked about it last week. From this day forward, if you want to have a marriage that's going to honor and serve God, number one commitment you're going to make is to seek God together. Okay? Number one, absolute, we're going to seek God together. Number two commitment you're going to make is to fight fair. When you have those disagreements, when you don't see things the same way, you're going to fight to resolve, not fight to win. Number three, commit to having fun together. All right? Some of you have the day off tomorrow. Some of you have, kind of some freedom today. Go have some fun with your spouse. This is your preacher giving you homework. go have the fun with your spouse in one of three ways: face to face, side by side, or skin to skin. All right, let me pray for you, and then I want to offer you an invitation. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. You are awesome and amazing, and we want our entire life to be honoring, serving, and pleasing you. And so, God, as we come together, as we decide that we're going to make marriage and we're going to make that most special relationship pleasing and honoring to you, would you help us to commit to doing things your way, to seek your wisdom and your word to guide and lead us in our life? We love you and we praise you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's sermon at Denton Christian Church. For more information about how you can become a disciple of Jesus Christ, or to subscribe to this podcast, or to watch a live stream of our services, please visit DentonChristianChurch.com. We hope that you will join us again next week.